Hello and welcome back to Live Laugh Stuck. I am Jackie, aka Jax, and we are back with Moose Stuck, which means we are back with Moosey. Hello, Moosey.
Hello. Hi. Hello, Jackie.
Yeah, it's been a while since we recorded because the holidays, and this is a big fucking thing. I mean, I guess, Moosey, you just read it all yesterday. You listened to it and read it all yesterday, so.
Yeah.
It took me a while to read it. This is Act 6, Act 3, and we start getting into just a lot of talking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a lot of talking. This is Homestuck, but it was just a lot this time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm still always confused about timelines and stuff.
That's fair. And then if it's been a while since we last read anything, that might also be causing it. So we start off Act 3 with a couple mini games of Jane being in her session and doing some exploring around. And you said that it reminded you of Myst.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out that this is referred to by the fandom as Myst-Duck. So. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Even the music sounded like they were trying to go for a mist sound.
Yeah, that was Rain by Clark Powell. I sometimes remember to notate the shit.
Mm.
Which the unofficial, I love that part of the unofficial Homestuck collection is that it will tell you the songs. Because I can never remember the song names. And people are like, oh, did you remember, don't you just love blah, blah, blah from that one scene? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. Sure. It was probably good. Homestuck music tends to be good.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think about the game?
Well, I didn't technically play the game. I watched the game being played because I did an update on my Linux kernel and it apparently broke a lot of things. Not everything on my system, but the Homestuck collection could not find my asset pack. So I messaged Bambosh to ask where that config file is stored. But yeah. I haven't seen if I could get it up and running again yet. I might have to figure out how to delete those files and then just kind of fresh install.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Bambosh gets back to you about it.
Oh yeah, they did. Oh. So I know where the file is. I just wasn't able to still launch it.
Oh.
So I'll see. I'll do some debugging.
Gotcha. Well, that sucks. We've got a lot of games next time.
Okay.
Do you know, because you're listening to,
it's just like a,
oh my god,
Breed Homestuck on YouTube.
Yeah, like the big one.
Yeah.
How up to date are they? Like how far did they get?
They were a bit past where I'm at, but I don't think they're finished. They're at Act 6, Act 5, Act 1, Part 3. And that was 4 months ago.
Okay. Yeah, that's not bad. That means it might be fine if you just listen to them do the games in Intermission 3, because that is some fucking stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'll try to get it working so I can at least play it for a little bit, but I usually end up watching a YouTube playthrough of the games anyway, just to make sure I'm not missing anything.
That makes sense. And I hated this one so much. It was just a lot of back and forth for no fucking reason.
Mm.
There were just too many clicks to get to the different places.
Yeah.
Like to get up to the tower, you had to, you know, be at the branching path and then go left and then go in the thing and then go up the thing. And then you're at the tower, but then you have to mess with the lanterns and you have to click up to get to the lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
And then little Seb has to be up there. So you have to, you know, either click for him to be up here or and then like turn the lanterns however many times.
Mm-hmm.
And then. I thought you could just leave him up there, but no, you need him for at least one thing. So then I had to go back and get him down. I just had a bad time with it, especially because I don't know what it was about, like the directions of the light, but I kept not parsing where the lights were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I forgot which light was which because void is blue. So I'd see blue and think void instead of Jane's text.
Mm.
So it was just some stuff. I just had a bad time, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, too many clicks.
Puzzles from amateur adventure designers.
Yeah, it's not like the puzzles were hard. It was just so many clicks to get places you had to keep going back to.
Mm-hmm.
I think after you get to the lantern the first time, there should have been a shortcut just to go directly up to it.
Yeah. Adventure game puzzles are a lost art that not a lot of people do anymore.
Yeah.
Myst was like 1991 or something like that. The original Myst game. 1993.
Yeah. It's so funny. I've tried to play Myst and I just couldn't do anything. Like, I don't think I solved a single goddamn puzzle.
Yeah. Though they've released Abduction in the past 10 years or something like that. And I was so excited to get to use my adult brain to solve puzzles. And I beat the game. I only got stuck one time, like, where I needed a walkthrough because I didn't see something on the ground or some dumb stuff like that.
Yeah. Harley, who I've had on to talk about their Stargate Alternia fic, really, really into Myst, has gone to like every Myst convention possible in the past several years, has submitted artwork that became official Myst.
Nice.
Like the official like logo for that year's convention and shit. Mm-hmm. And Myst ends up being like Stargate Alternia. Like, so Stargate is the main part of that AU, but Myst is like the second main part of that AU. That's just every time I think of Myst, I just think of Harley.
Yeah. As a side note, also seeing that I guess Hussey is slightly inspired by Myst, which makes sense. That also led me to think about, like, so is Hussey really into chess and cards? Because, like, growing up, I always thought those things were really boring.
Yeah.
It's like, how can anyone be into cards?
I mean, cards are neat. I just played a lot of Skippo, but that's not with, like, regular playing cards. I just hated cards because my family did the whole, like, do you want to play 52 card pickup?
Oh.
Yeah, no, my family's obnoxious. They love teasing each other, and I didn't like being teased. But that's beside the point.
Cards are boring. Those are, like, from before video games.
Listen, if you want to get into cool cards, get into tarot. Fuck, I was saying shit. I don't know.
Sorry, we were talking about the mini game, the Myst stuck. Yeah,
that's fine. We get off on tangents. That's what we do. I do like the lore that was in the games. It's interesting that because their session is void, all the consorts died, and like the lore, like they had legends that would have made sense if they had like a viable session. And then whenever shit happened that they didn't, it just changed all the legends, and like the consorts talked about that.
Yeah. And then they died.
And then they all died. Presumably like hundreds of years ago. And they even mentioned that the beta kids are coming to like make the session viable. I don't know. I think it's neat.
Yeah.
We get conversations with AR and Roxy, and I don't know. It wasn't too, it was just, you know, some stuff that I didn't take too many notes on this part. I was too frustrated.
Yeah. I just started taking notes like once she hit the Gamzee shop, and then listening to all of the descriptions of the different potions, and then trying to decide to buy potions, and then not saying no, and then having to buy potions anyway. That took a long time.
Yeah. And the fact that all the potions are, for one, cost 420, which is something that Jane doesn't understand. And two, just troll blood from all the dead trolls that Gamzee has collected.
Yeah. And then we get the Vriska Tavros sprite.
Yeah, Tavros, who is a sprite for approximately 2 seconds before their personalities clash so much they explode. Which, I don't know, I think is funny.
Yeah. So then we also get backstory on the future humans being extinct, except for, what, Dirk and Roxy?
Yes, yeah, that was a lot. That's when I started to be like, I'm tired of this exposition. It's just, I don't know. Like, I love learning about Alpha, Dave, and Rose. I think that they were pretty badass and cool. But it was so much back-to-back nonstop. It looks like you had some questions about the backstory, or did that get figured out as you went through?
Well, they were talking about the aquatic alien empress, and I was like, I assume this is Betty Crocker, and I think that's what it was. She's the beta troll queen who went to the alpha line or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
She is the, yeah, she's the Condess. She is the troll empress, And yeah, she traveled from the beta. She went through the scratch.
Her crown was like glowing with the Taurus and whatever Vriska symbol is, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is she related to them?
She can just channel their powers. Okay. So she can channel the powers that are typically for Bronze Bloods and is Vriska's just blue? Is that just what Vriska's color is called? I think it's just blue.
Mm.
So that's what's going on there. Is she's not channeling like them specifically, just like there are certain powers that certain casts typically have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she's doing there. To control Godcat and Pyrosprite. Well, not Pyrosprite, the dragon. Is it called Pyrosprite? Whatever. The dragon.
I don't remember.
Red Glare's dragon from back in the old times.
Mm. Yeah. And so there was also stuff about Jake's grandmother made a company branding based on English or entrepreneurial lore that I didn't fully understand.
Yeah, so she was opposing her adopted mom, the Condess, by opening a rival company that was branded based on English, which is the Condess's boss, Lord English, Condess's boss.
Okay. I have more questions about Lord English later on.
Okay. Yeah, we get some background about evil Guy Fieri. 2024 is the year of the last free election, where Presidents Jay and Dope of Juggalo fame, of Insane Clown Posse fame, become dual presidents. And Washington, D.C., instead of District of Columbia, D.C. now stands for Dark Carnival.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just a lot of listening to Jake talk to Dream Brain Dirk for a long time.
Yeah, Brain Ghost Dirk is what he gets referred to as.
Mm.
Either in the fandom or in canon. I forget, you know. Maybe it started in the fandom and whatever. Brain Ghost Dark, BGD, is what he gets referred to.
Yeah. Yeah, then in my notes I just have Jack is in jail. That also took a long time.
Yeah, I didn't take notes on that at all.
He just stabbed people and it took a long time.
It's a big old Jailbreak reference, which is one of Hussey's old comics and one of the few that I've read. I've read Jailbreak and I've read Bard Quest ages ago. Yeah, a lot of this is a Jailbreak reference, but so it's just Jack fucking around in jail and killing people.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
background story, queens, troll queens, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we get more conversation with Arania. Maybe that's what it was there, to break up the conversation after the Jake and Brinko Sturk, and then there was going to be the Arania conversation next. So we learn more backstory about how the forest was, where instead of trolls of higher caste subjugating and murdering the lower caste trolls, they took care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Mina is the Beforest version of the Condess, and instead of taking the throne, she abdicated and went to the moon and found the game. And then we switch to DD. I forget his name. Diamond Driggs. Diamond Strug is the exile version of his name. I forget what the other version of his name is.
Draconian Dignitary.
There we go.
Yeah.
So he gets the ring to do the miles, and he puts on the song I'm a Member of the Midnight Crew by David Coe. And I love that song.
I was confused about what was happening there.
Yeah, because the flash that plays over it has like a bunch of old shit and some new stuff in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why that was. I don't understand why it was a mix of old and new.
It's the same Miles attacking Beta timeline and Alpha timeline, right?
So there's like, he's doing the Miles that are attacking on Durst, but then there's the Miles that Jack released from the Beta timeline that is, yeah, now attacking the Alpha timeline, which is confusing.
Mm-hmm. Need a timeline of Miles.
Yeah, the Miles timeline. We have flashes for the bunny. We have flashes for Lil' Cal. We need a flash for the Miles.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Little Cal, apparently he's a juju or something, and I don't know what this means either.
Yeah.
They have special things.
for sure. We'll get more onto what the cherub's juju is. And by the way, that's one of the words that you can change in the unofficial Homestuck collection if you don't want to call it a juju.
Okay.
I forget what they change it to in there, but it is one of the things. I think it's a mod. I can't remember.
Yeah, because it's kind of cultural appropriation-y.
It is. Yep.
It's like, I don't even know what it means to begin with, so.
Yeah, I forget what it actually means, but we'll get more details on that later.
Okay.
Yeah, we go back to Jane looking for Dad, and I'm just going to use the names that we learned for them at the end of the act to refer to them now.
Yeah, instead of you and you.
Right, like lowercase and uppercase. So Calliope is talking to Jane while Jane is looking for her dad. We learn about how there used to be lime blood trolls. Carcat actually is a mutation of a lime blood troll. I don't think that's stated explicitly, but that is the implication.
Why did there used to be lime blood trolls?
Because, like, I mean, that's a place in the Zodiac that Carcat fills in the trolls, but he is a mutant, so he shouldn't have that blood color. But then that leaves a space that isn't filled in the troll astrology and the troll blood cast. So people had been theorizing about a lime blood troll for a while because the troll blood colors go off of like the color spectrum. So they saw that there was like, you know, a missing green color between Solix and Nepeta, right? Where Carcat is.
I don't know.
I always get the lime blood trolls mixed up.
Calliope said that she's lime green.
Yeah.
And the other dude is red.
Yes.
I think.
Lime bloods don't get brought up ever again, I don't think. But part of the fandom has clung on to this lore because, like, they did have powerful abilities. They were hunted to extinction. It's just a fun little thing that never comes up again.
Mm-hmm.
It is neat. There's a fan game I played that has a lime blood troll in it.
Mm.
So, I don't know. It's fun stuff.
Yeah.
We go back to Jake in the dream bubble, which is just more Irania talking and Jake weird and talking to Brain Ghost Dirk, who no one else can see except Terezi can sniff him out.
Mm-hmm.
So they end up talking a little bit, but Terezi's the only one trying to actually pay attention to what Irania and Mina are saying.
Yeah.
While Dave and Rose have a side conversation talking about Roxy. And we get the lore that they found out they also had to scratch their session, the forest trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to keep them all still existing, Mina blew them all up without telling them, which I have this great fan art from my friend G, who made this for the Disabled Stuck zine. And I'll include a link to all that in the description. She made this great fan art where Mina is deaf and has hearing aids and she turns them off when she's going to blow everyone up, which I think is very funny. That's a very Mina move.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, I'll link both this specific art and the link to the zine in the description.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there's the chess argument, which was fine. I didn't make any notes about that because it was just
That also took a while.
Yeah, like, it was characterization, which is fine, but it was also chess.
He put a hat on his chess pieces, on the king and queen.
To trick Calliope.
Mm.
Yeah, so we have the character, or the choose-your-own-kid thing, where we just see how Hal is trying to get everyone to speed up and get into the game because the red miles are coming for Dirk and Roxy, and everyone else is doing whatever the fuck they want and not listening to Hal. And
yeah, where Hal is the auto responder who has chosen the name Hal.
Yeah, Hal's the auto responder who later chooses the name Hal. He also says it was a joke. He tells Jake it was a joke, but everyone just calls him Hal now. In the fandom. So there are some people I still see refer to them as AR, but like for the most part, everyone calls him Hal or Lil Hal.
Mm-hmm.
But so he's just trying to get everyone in the game and they're just fucking off to Durst instead. Mm-hmm.
getting yet another kids or trolls or aliens entering the game. Just more of that.
More of that. And we have Calliope say that she wants to give something to Roxy. And this is where she tells Roxy her name, and which has been a big no-no. Like they had a rule against telling the name, because if you say Calliope's name to Caliborn, then she will wake up and she'll take over their body. Because what we find out next is we go to Calliope, and that she and Caliborn occupy the same body. When one is asleep, the other wakes up and goes and does their thing.
Mm-hmm. And is that standard for the cherub race, or is that just them?
It's standard for the cherub race. We learn more about the cherubs later on. Not like a huge amount, I don't think. But yeah, maybe that's not said explicitly, but it's implied that this is standard for the cherub race.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it is stated explicitly. Whatever. That they have this fight of dominance. Like I said, we'll learn more about it later, but yeah, this is standard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then for some reason, Calliope has the big book that the kids were working on in the ship, where they, Ouija penis scribbled or whatever it was called.
Yes, so this is where Calliope gets a lot of her information, is from the book that Rose is writing, which is a parallel to Kanaya getting a lot of information about how the game is going to go, based on Rose's game facts. Yeah. So Rose is just telling everyone all the stuff in various ways, in ways she did not expect, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
But the cherub lives on a planet that has a dying sun and a shit ton of shitty looking statues of Liberty.
Oh, there were multiple statues of Liberty?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it shows that, but it starts with a zoom on just one. But yeah, there are a bunch of JPEG-y looking statues of Liberty in the whole scenery.
Okay, I missed that because I was probably just looking at one.
Yeah, that's fair. It's not there for very long, but there are a bunch. And we get another character select, but this one's interesting because it has Caliborn text beneath almost all of the pages and beneath the character select itself, saying in which he is talking to Calliope, like she is the one choosing the characters to watch. And we see a lot of it through his screen. He's the one watching, and then his screen blacks out at various points.
And then he starts drawing.
Just so bad. So we go, the Red Miles kill Jane. Lil Seb manages to get Jake back to his island before the teleport pad is blocked off. But Jake still gets knocked out, which I noted that Caliborn's drawing of Jake being knocked out on the ground almost, like, it is the one that closely resembles any of the scenes, in my opinion. Like, I can see the Jake shape in there. Caliborn's screen goes dark before we see Roxy die, but we see Roxy die. To the Red Miles. We go to Dirk and Caliborn fangirls over Dirk. That's what he calls it himself, as he's fangirling in quotations over Dirk, who gets knocked out by falling debris in the dream self. And then I kind of missed this. I don't know if you saw it better than me, but like we go to his awake self and it looks like he gets knocked out by Cal, who then falls into the fiery ocean.
I did see Cal falling into the ocean. But...
yeah. But whatever happens, Dirk gets knocked out and Cal burns in the fiery ocean. While Caliborn laughs in a way that is similar to how Cal Sprite laughed in the Doom timeline that Dave Sprite is from.
I don't remember little Cal laughing.
So, yeah, you remember how there was an offshoot timeline where John dies and it's just Dave and Rose?
Yeah, I remember that part.
In that timeline, Dave had prototyped Lil' Cal in the sprite.
Okay.
And all he does is laugh.
Hmm.
But that was a very short time, a very long time ago. This is probably the slowest I've ever read Homestuck since I first read it. But even like then, like I've read through this part pretty fast because I jumped in sometime before game over.
And I guess at this point, this is when Dirk beheads himself to become.
Yeah, we go back to the dream bubble for a second because Brain Ghost Dirk ends up turning into Dream Dirk, which I love the line where Brain Ghost Dirk, or I guess now Dream Dirk, says, "Does this mean you can see me now?" And Rosie says, "No, but they can."
Yeah.
But and I forgot that this is where Dirk and Dave actually like see each other for the first time.
Mm.
Dave's glasses. I don't know why I'm noting this now because it's been this way for a while, but Dave's supposed to be wearing aviators like this whole fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just round now, and that's how the fandom also draws them most of the time, is just round instead of aviators, which I get that round is easier to draw than aviators, but they're still supposed to be aviators, and I don't know why that bugs me, but it does. Yes, then we get Dirk synchronized, and this flash, and then I think it's just one more that we just generally call Unite Synchronization, which is what the song is called. We just kind of combined those and like think of them as one thing. And I actually forgot that they were two different flashes. It's cool shit. Dirk kind of just gets everything in gear. His two robots, Square Wave and Sawtooth, get him and Roxy into the game. And yeah, this is where Dirk decapitates himself and sends his head to Jake to smooch.
And it takes a long time for Jake to do the smooch.
To be fair, if you suddenly had your friend's decapitated head in front of you and you were told you had to smooch him, and this is a dude who, like, has romantic overtures for you, so you've been told, and now it's like, the pressure's on. You have to smooch this decapitated head. I feel I also might hesitate for a second, you know?
Just kiss the dead head, man.
Just kiss the dead head. And yeah, so of course, like, a volcano explodes in the background as Jake like poses and kisses Dirk's head, which then in the next flash, we find out that Dirk had gotten everyone, and they're right there, they're watching, like, Dirk had gotten everyone together. He had to kick Roxy out of the way to kiss Jane because Roxy couldn't kiss Jane, and like, because he's the one who kissed Roxy awake, and just gets everyone together, and is the one that splashes water on Jake to wake him up in the first place. And so the three of them were just watching him stare at Dirk's decapitated head and then eventually kiss him. So some stuff
that reminds me of one of the romance options in Baldur's Gate 3, but I guess I won't spoil it, but the rest of your party, it just ends up, for some reason at the end, they're just all there and they're like disgusted.
That's so funny. Very happy about that. Looking forward to learning about that. And then we get the last flash of this act, Caliborn Enter, on page 5261, which is confusing because I looked on the Homestuck Wiki because I was trying to see how much time I had left, and it said Act 3 ended at 5259, but like, it doesn't have the end of Act 6, Act 3 page until 5262, so I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
Maybe I should go and edit it, but I don't know. I feel like if no one's edited it by now, there must be a reason. But whatever.
I don't know.
I don't know. Caliborn enters, and his cheeks fill in because he has successfully killed Calliope by killing her dream self. She goes to sleep, and he takes over.
Did we see her dream self?
Yeah. When was that? Because he talks about how he hired Jack to kill Calliope's dream self.
Mm-hmm. Did he also hire Jack to kill the other kids?
No, that was the Condes. The Condes took over as Queen of Durs.
Okay.
Yeah. That was part of Brain Ghost Dirk's very long explanation to Jake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of sad that Calliope died.
yeah, Calliope died, and Caliborn takes over the body, which is signified by his cheeks filling in completely red. He chews his leg off, the one that's locked that only Calliope could open, and loses a tooth, and so now he has a metal leg and a staff and a missing tooth. And we also see Lord English. You caught, so I didn't catch that in the flash, But the sarcophagus being on the quest bed and then exploding upwards and end up going to one of the dream bubbles and just decimating a shit ton of ghosts.
Okay, that was in a dream bubble.
Yeah.
Because I was confused.
It was in some afterlife dream bubble thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, did he just kill everyone?
No, he killed a bunch of ghosts.
Ghosts with skeletons.
Yeah, ghosts with skeletons, you know, because he zapped them. And then just like in the movies, you see their skeletons for being zapped before they disappear into ash.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Paradox space is cracked in the reflection of Dave's shades, which I'm pretty sure is a reference to Problem Sleuth. Because the lore about these aviators in Problem Sleuth is that they have glimpsed the entirety of the universe.
Nope. Okay.
I don't know more about that. I still haven't read Problem Sleuth. One day I will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure that's another Problem Sleuth callback. Caliborn's planet is sucked up by a black hole as he's entering his mm-hmm. game. And yeah, PM and Beckmar pause their fight to look at the cracked Paradox space, and Act 6, Act 3 ends.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, they see the red sun with the little spirally thing going into a hole.
Yes.
Which was what Calliope dreamt about, except as a white silhouette or something.
Oh yeah, I did forget about that. Do you have any general thoughts or questions?
So, Caliborn is Lord English, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was kind of confused in the animation because it showed, like, both of them.
Yeah, so Caliborn, right now, they are both existing at the same time.
Okay.
So, we have yet to see how Caliborn officially, like, we haven't seen the full process of Caliborn becoming Lord English. I guess we've seen the sarcophagus on his quest bed. There we go.
Okay.
But right now we are still in the process. We will still be watching Caliborn's journey, but we are now also seeing Lord English causing destruction.
Mm-hmm. So then Spurb, the game that is intended to create new universes as like a reproductive system for the universe, is independent of Lord English. Like, it's still a thing outside of everybody else, right? I don't know.
I feel like this is a question I will answer and have people tell me I'm wrong.
Mm.
There are people who understand this stuff so much better than I do. I think Lord English is supposed to be like the inevitable death of Paradox space, but I don't know. That's just one theory I've heard. I don't know what the actual, again, I don't know. This is something that's not explicitly stated, and if it is, I forget, and we may get to it. But because at least in this version of Paradox Space, Lord English is inevitable. Everything led to the creation of Lord English and the things he is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is a separate instance from Spurb or whether it is an inherent part of Spurb is another question I don't know the answer to.
The short answer is that this is, like, largely an open question that is up to your own interpretation. The long answer is that we really have no reason to assume that, like, Paradox Space and Spurb don't exist outside of Lord English and the stable time loop that's required to create him. After all, I mean, who creates the Trolls universe if Spurb doesn't exist outside of this particular situation? If you make the assumption that Paradox Space does indeed exist outside of Lord English and his influence, then we can classify Lord English's entire deal as, like, either some kind of unique case, or the sort of thing that just happens periodically and is in fact an important part of Paradox Space's structure, just like any other stable time loop that might exist within it. That last bit might be getting into idle speculation on my part, though. Either way, Jax was right on the money. What we do know is that Lord English and his existence threaten Paradox Space in some kind of uniquely total way that has never before been seen.
Okay. And Caliborn has not entered the game yet, right?
Caliborn has just entered the game in this flash.
Okay. Okay.
We saw his house disappear as his planet was being sucked into a black hole.
Mm-hmm. So that's the fourth time we see a character enter the game.
Yeah. So we had
fourth set of persons.
Yeah. We had the beta kids. We had the
trolls,
Alternia trolls. We had the alpha kids, and we have Caliborn.
Mm-hmm. So then we'll go to the land of Butts and Strife or something for Caliborn.
Exactly. I don't know. I can't believe you figured out his land name. I don't remember what his land name is. I suppose we'll find out.
What would your land name be?
Oh, God. I had one fucking ages ago. They had like quizzes and stuff to help you figure it out. And then I had one for I was doing a role play where we all had kidsonas and we were entering the game, and I had to make one up for that, and I forgot.
We've since looked back at this old role play. It was the Land of Spotlights and Whispers.
I don't know, man. Like, because there are so many arguments about like why certain lands are called certain things, like why they have certain
attributes or whatever.
Attributes, yeah, and why some people love their planet and why some people hate it.
If mine was a planet that I hated, it would be like the Land of Crowds and Drivers Cruising in the Passing Lane.
That's a long land name. I don't know. I think mine, whenever I made one, was like the land of like mirrors and mists or something. It's just so it's just kind of esoteric. I don't know. This should be something I have on hand as a longtime Homestuck fan. Because what we're seeing with, oh, we'll get into that next session.
Also, Calliope and Caliborn have long names, not four letter names.
Yeah. And they have longer than troll names.
Are we going to see any more aliens entering the game?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and spoil it. This is the last time we see someone enter a game. This is it.
Okay.
No more entering games.
Are we going to finally see everyone inside the game? I don't even know what the goal is right now. It's just being in the game and not being dead.
That is kind of the goal for the alpha kids right now, because they're waiting on the beta kids to get there. Because the beta kids have a viable, what do they call it, like a seed or whatever, to become like the new planet. So yeah, the alpha kids are really just waiting on the beta kids to get there.
Okay. And then I forgot what really goes into winning the game.
So they need to finish making the perfect frog, because the frog is the universe. What Jade and Dave were doing, I think they were doing it in Cascade. But in one of the flashes towards the end of Act 5, Act 2, they were breeding frogs to try to make the perfect frog. So they need to finish doing that for sure. They need to light the forge. Those are the two things I remember they for sure have to do in order to create the new planet for them to go to.
Okay, so since it's all to birth a new planet slash universe or whatever, that's the end game. And then they just live on a planet.
Yeah. That's end game is create a new universe.
That's the post-credit sequence, is you just open world, have a go finish your achievements, the remaining quests and stuff.
No spoilers.
Oh, is that going to be like Homestuck 2, is go finish the post-credits quests?
don't even get me into what Homestuck 2 is about. Extra, no spoilers. Some stuff. But yeah, so that's the end goal of the whole thing, is to make a new universe for them.
But why can't they just live in the universe that they had? I know that means there would be no Homestuck. It's like,
because that means there would be no Homestuck, but it's just like you said, it's how Esper functions.
It's the reproductive process.
Yeah.
How it reproduces.
Yes.
But what about the universe that Esper lives in?
I don't know. Good question. It's like, well,
just going to be recursive. Who created
God, you know, it's that sort of question.
Yeah. What kind of neighborhood does God live in?
Yeah.
Does God like his neighbors? Yeah. So also something else I was looking at after reading this was just the stuff Hussey has done since, which I guess would just be the Psycolonials thing. I don't know if they've done anything after.
No, that's the only thing that they've done so far. I mean, technically, like, outside of Homestuck stuff, because technically they also worked on the epilogues. They were one of the authors for the epilogues. And they wrote, I think they only wrote the first volume of Hive Swap Friend Sim. I can't remember if they wrote any of, I mean, I assume they wrote most of Hive Swap Act 1 and Act 2. And they wrote at least the first volume of Pester Quest. I don't think they wrote any of the others. And now I think they're just done with Homestuck for good. But yes, the only non-Homestuck thing they've done is Psycolonials.
Yeah. And then I was looking at, like, are there three Homestuck games then? The Pester Quest, Hive Swap, and Hive Swap Friend Sim?
Yes. So Hive Swap currently has Act 1 and Act 2, and we're supposed to get Act 3. I don't know if that's going to be in the end of it, and they've, like, hinted at a Haunt Switch, but, like, we don't think we're actually going to get that. We know Act 3 is coming. Not to get into Kickstarter discourse, because that's a whole other fucking episode that I could do.
I'm vaguely aware of the Kickstarter and the company issues, like the What Pumpkin.
Yeah, I was one of the Kickstarter backers. What pisses a lot of people off, or pisses me off and other people who back the Kickstarter whenever I mentioned it to them, because I commented on the page, is they have been letting stuff drop about Hive Swap Act 3. They let it happen at Stuck at Home Con, which is an online convention run by fans that some of the official Hive Swap people got in and, like, dropped some information about Hive Swap Act 3. And then there's just been also some drops on, I think, Twitter, maybe some other places that people have then, like, posted on Tumblr. But nothing has been said on the Kickstarter. Zero information. So if you're not following very specific people, or then you just have no fucking idea, which is a little bit of Hive Swap Kickstarter, because I'm very mad about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's Hive Swap Acts 1 and 2, but it's technically all one game. Hive Swap Friend Sim, which has 19 volumes and is all one game. And then, yeah, Pester Quest, which has an amount of volumes, I forget.
And then from what I read of Psycolonials, it's not even really a game. It's more of just,
it's like a interactive visual novel.
Fiction. Yeah.
Yeah. It's more of a visual novel than anything.
Or what do they call it? Like a kinetic novel, when it's not really much as far as choices. It's just reading it, but it's in, like, the medium of a visual novel engine.
I don't think I've heard that term, but that makes sense. I never read it or played it or whatever. There's a review. Geo did a review I was thinking about, like, I started reading and then stopped. And I've just heard people talk about it, and it just feels like it's a commentary on fandom that comes to some weird bad conclusions. I don't know. Hussey's interesting because, like, they have some very, like, clear philosophies about writing and fandom and creation that I just completely disagree with. I disagree with so much of it. I mean, not, like, everything, but it's so funny because I love Homestuck so much, obviously. And I just disagree with, like, almost everything they think about the process of writing and, like, storytelling and everything. It's very funny.
Can you give me an example of what a thought about storytelling that they hold is?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, meandering and in letting in, enabling the ADHD within.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember because I'm learning about a lot of this from Homestuck Made This World, does some pretty good deep dives into it because they both have, like, PhDs in, like, various forms of, like, media or, like, literature criticism and analysis. But one of the big things is for the epilogues, the one that I remember most concretely is for the epilogues, a few months after it came out, Hussey released the statement talking about the epilogues, and most of it was fine. I was fine with most of it. But at one point, they say that the reason the epilogues, had controversial things in it and had, like, not so happy things and had characters doing things that kind of sucked was because we wanted, the fandom wanted to look in and see what was happening. We weren't satisfied with the end of Homestuck. We wanted to still know what happened. And by us looking in to see what happened, we caused conflict within the story, because there cannot be a story if there is not conflict. And so we ruined, we are the reason the epilogues have shitty things in it, because we wanted to look at what was still going on.
I mean, that is an interesting take.
It is. And I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for one thing, apparently I'd never heard this, but apparently the epilogues had been rumored to be a thing for fucking ages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Just Ozzy likes to give the fandom more blame for things. Mm-hmm. Whenever, like, they just they take away their own agency in storytelling.
Yeah.
And that's noted a lot in a lot of the commentary for the acts. That's noted a lot in a lot of the Form Spring answers, the Tumblr posts and everything. This is one reason why I want to go through and like read everything.
Like, you made me do this.
Yeah, you made me do this. You are the one interpreting it like this. You are the one. I don't know. It's just a bunch of shit that they just like, I don't know. Because like, Hussey has a lot of agency in, like, within the comic. Like, they put their own, they put themselves in the actual comic.
Mm-hmm.
And then killed themselves off. And it's just, I don't know, Hussey has the most and the least agency of Homestuck, according to them. It's weird. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd have to re-listen to some Homestuck Made This World to have, like, more solid thoughts about, like, the writing theory that just I don't like.
And I find that interesting because I just recently watched a video from the YouTuber Never Knows Best. So I watch a lot of like video game stuff, but this is about a Bethesda employee where like these rumors were spreading about them not using design documents, and then like this whole wave of internet hate. And it's like how, I don't know if you'd call those fans, but just things can get so out of hand and get away from you. Like, this guy gave a speech or a talk like 10 years ago or something, and people are using it as a way to like abuse him, even though it was like they use docs, they just don't use one big design document because that's not how you do the game development.
And there's definitely a lot of that issues with the fandom. Like, so I don't like a lot of things Hussey has done. I hate a lot of things What Pumpkin has done. And I've talked about those things a lot. And the way Hussey interacts with the fandom, or has historically interacted with the fandom, some of the shit Hussey has said that you can see in Sarah Z's or Sarah Z's video, and you can see in a lot of other shit, fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Wapakin has interacted with fan fucking sucks. But I never want to make it seem like the fandom has been great to them. The fandom has harassed Hussey, has said some terrible things to Hussey. The fandom has harassed Wapakin people. The fandom fucking sucks. Modern fandom in general fucking sucks. We really saw this with Voltron Legendary Defenders.
Mm.
Because that was one of the, not, I don't want to say the first times, but that was one of the big, most obvious times we saw fandom was reaching out to individual artists and writers and voice actors and harassing them specifically for like ships not becoming canon and stuff.
Or you see that a lot also just with video game creators and stuff like that, especially since Gamergate and all that in like 2013 is like a lot of, and you don't really see like when it's you're on the receiving end, that's a lot of aggregate stuff versus like when you're just seeing it happen in one instance. Absolutely. In a way, teaching is not the same, but it's like, it's like when I get the same question and I'm like, oh my god, is no one reading what I wrote?
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so all fandom like that gets big enough is like this now, especially if the creators make themselves like more available to the fandom, like having Twitter accounts and stuff. Again, this is a whole other episode I can do on how terrible What Pumpkin was at handling the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone in depth on it before on various Twitter posts and on various Tumblr posts and in Discord servers and in conversations. And I probably went through it on the one episode I had with Sergeant Spank. I just forgot everything I said on that episode because it happened almost a year ago. I forget how we got started talking about Hussey's story philosophy and stuff.
Oh, I was just kind of interested if like people who are Homestuck fans want to consume everything that Hussey authors.
So I just did a poll about this.
Yeah.
Sorry, I did literally a poll literally just finished. I think today. I have a Homestuck poll blog. It's posting Homestuck polls. And I asked, have you read or played any other works by Hussey not Homestuck related? And the majority of people who have read anything have only read Problem Sleuth, which is their big one before Homestuck. A lot of people read Problem Sleuth and then just went on to his next project, Homestuck. But technically, no, and I have no interest in has read Homestuck won the poll. Here, I'll just screenshot it and send it to you.
Okay. Which also reminds me that you had another poll about spreadsheets that we haven't brought up yet.
Oh my god, I had several polls about spreadsheets that are all finished. Yeah, I have a bunch of polls on this. I've been posting a bunch. The majority of people who answered, which only 310 people answered, so that's not like a large swath of the fandom. But the majority of people have read something besides Homestuck, but it's not a large majority from this news results. And then it was primarily only Problem Sleuth. I kind of thought that only Psycholonials might take it, since a lot of people who are answering these polls are new to the fandom. Like when I asked, you know, when did you get into Homestuck? The majority still said before Homestuck ended. But out of those who started reading after Homestuck ended, the majority started in 2023. Again, these are only people who are answering my poll. On Tumblr. So I'm not trying to say this is a good example of the fandom as a whole, but it is like my section of the fandom that I am reaching by these polls. People have not read a lot of his other stuff, which some of their other stuff fucking sucks. And I, you know, I haven't read, I've only read Bard Quest and Jailbreak. And they have like just a bunch of other stuff that just the farther in the back you get, the more it's like, this was written in the early 2000s, all right? Did you want me to find the spreadsheet polls?
If you want to.
So I started this poll blog because we were joking, or you were saying that you like Carcat because Carcat likes spreadsheets, and you like anyone who likes spreadsheets the most.
Yeah.
So which Alternian troll would most love spreadsheets? Solix won. 42% out of 12 options. So Dirk won out of the kids, 34%. You haven't gotten to, I mean, you've started seeing, you've seen two of the other trolls and have been referenced to the existence of like all the other trolls. So a troll you have not seen yet won that section of trolls, but Arania came in as a close second.
Okay.
And then out of the Guardians, Dad Egbert won by 51%.
Yeah, I think Dad seems like the most spreadsheet of them.
Yeah. It's very funny because more people voted for Beck than for Grandpa Harley.
Well, he was a man of hunting, you know?
Yeah.
Do the actions.
Yeah.
No, don't spreadsheet your animal kills. Just right. Get it done.
Yeah, that's what a taxidermy is for. You put them on the wall. You don't need a spreadsheet. Yeah. The wall is my spreadsheet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a bunch of polls on there and I'm queuing up and I'm accepting submissions. I don't know when this episode is going to come out. It's probably going to be in like 2 months. Any other thoughts about Act 3? Again, we got a lot of exposition. You know, we learned about the whole history of the Alpha timeline Earth.
I know we still have a way to go until the actual end, considering that Act 6 is like half of the comic.
Oh, we have so much longer. Yeah.
I'm just like, what my goal is to finish the comic and then maybe from there be able to more contextualize things by reading summaries or something like that. But
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. And again, I know I've recommended this 1,000 times, but Homestuck Made This World is very good. I am almost caught up to where we currently are, so I can start listening to more of that. Because I'm only catching up to as far as we've gotten, so I don't mistake shit and get shit out of order.
Yeah.
But that is very good to help summarize things. And I'm sure there's a lot of other resources out there. There's so many. Homestuck fans are wild.
Mm-hmm.
But Homestuck Made This World puts it into context of the fandom at the time, which is, to me, invaluable. Yeah. And yeah. The only problem with it is I've heard that they don't know the fandom context for the epilogues. And so they have an episode about the epilogues, but they don't have the fandom context for it, which kind of sucks. So I don't know if I'm going to listen to that one, to be honest. Again, I've read Homestuck. This is like my fourth or fifth time reading it. So it can take a bit to understand and read summaries and shit.
Mm-hmm. It's a game.
Next time we'll be getting into Act 6, Intermission 3. Which we are going to be splitting up into multiple parts, for sure. This one, I almost split it up into multiple parts because it was a lot of reading, and I ended up not, just because there wasn't enough plot stuff to justify it. It was just a lot of reading about background shit.
Mm-hmm.
But next time, there's going to be what is called, by the fandom, I guess, Open Bound, which...
Like Earthbound, but... Open.
You know what? I didn't know a lot about Earthbound the last time I read through Openbound. So I don't know. Maybe it is more like Earthbound. I don't know enough about Earthbound to say.
Mm-hmm.
Is a lot of walking and collecting things to unlock new areas and talk to other people. It's like, so you remember when you played as the trolls on the meteor and you talked to people and you can could become other people. It's like that, but bigger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot bigger and a lot of talking. And you're going to be so glad you're listening to it instead of reading it.
Yeah.
You're gonna be so glad. Some of these typing quirks get to be a fucking mess. So yeah, that's, I don't know. I'm excited about it because I like Open Bound. Some people fucking hate Open Bound.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a common thing in the fandom now, but back when Open Bound was out, or like whenever Homestuck was ending and stuff, like back around then, people fucking hated Open Bound, was the impression I got.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it. But we'll talk about that more when we do it. But again, I like it. I don't know if you will.
But so far, game design wise, I'd say the games aren't very fun.
Yeah.
They're just like an interactive means of exposition, which can be a nice thing.
That is what Open Bound is. It's an interactive means of exposition.
Yeah. But it's like, if I bought it as a game, like a standalone thing, I'd be kind of bored.
Yeah, absolutely.
But also it's free entertainment, I guess.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Homestuck thus far?
Man, I still don't get it.
That's fair. I don't know. There was a lot. I feel like I'm delaying this because I feel like I did a lot more summary than I did discussion, but also like a lot of what we read was summary, you know, like we got a summary of what happened on Earthsea, which I think it's interesting, but it explains a couple of things, but it doesn't explain like enough, you know. It's just mostly background stuff, which is world setting stuff.
It's so much to keep track of.
And
I think that's also the thing. It doesn't feel like there's forward momentum to be like, oh, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened, like a traditional narrative structure. It's like learning all the backstory for 5,000 pages.
Yeah. So far, Act 6 has been a lot of backstory and explanations, and then like an animatic where stuff happens.
Mm-hmm. And then I have a hard time following what's going on in the animatics because there is no text there.
Yeah. We will get more of an explanation for the end animatic, or the Unite Synchronization 2 animatic, next time we see the Alpha Kids.
Is that going to be in Intermission 3?
No, I don't think we ever see... I don't think we usually see the Alpha Kids in the intermissions. I think the intermissions are usually reserved for the other characters.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to see more of the Alpha Kids and not the other characters now?
I want to see more Carcat.
Mm.
There was not very much Carcat in this section.
Yeah, Carcat didn't do a whole lot. Which, like, again, like before the acts, like the official acts, not the intermissions, didn't have any Carcat or Dave or Rose or anything. And this time there was. it had an overlap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess I like Roxy and Jane more. Still don't know about the other trolls, and I'm sad that Calliope is dead.
Yeah, poor Calliope.
Yeah.
Which, Calliope and Caliborn are interesting because they're, like, reflections of the fandom. Like, just different parts of the fandom. God, we didn't even talk about the porn that Caliborn had Dirk make.
I enjoyed how uninterested in the gropey parts he was like, just do the hand holding.
Yeah. Do the hand holding. Just make them say sweet things to each other. Oh yeah, that's the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Relatable.
Caliborn is relatable, says Moosey.
I mean, in the very what is it called? Like, sex repelled.
Yeah. Oh, and Gamzee's codpiece in the fact that he just had Vriska and Tavros in a fridge.
Mm-hmm. That's how you gotta get the blood fresh, I guess.
Yeah. God, it was just a lot of words this time.
Mm-hmm. That's Homestuck.
That's Homestuck. And it's not gonna be less words next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's for dang sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've delayed enough. I think we said everything that we're going to say. Again, I just felt like we did more summary than explanation, but, or not explanation, but talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of like learning.
Yeah.
Learning stuff.
Learning stuff, listening to Irania talk and Brain Ghost Dirk being a thing. Dirk's so weird. I love him so much. He's like, yeah, my brain is in glasses. I have a version of myself that exists in my crush's head that I can become, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
What a weirdo. Anyway, that's it for this time. We'll be back next time with XX Intermission 3, or at least part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which we might take a break between now and then and actually finish High Swap Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. And don't forget to go to the Discord and subscribe to the newsletter and stuff. You know, I say the other stuff in the outro. So goodbye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye.